Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour Live. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We've been talking about the Second Amendment in the first hour. You got to catch it. They're talking about taking or limiting our guns. It seems to be an agenda to break down and do away with significant parts of our Constitution, the supreme law of the land. It will help you. It will educate you. Also, tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment in detail to kind of give you some perspective from a former law enforcement officer. Giving you that kind of perspective will really help you out. Also, we'll talk to you about, in the first hour about getting out of the boat, understanding that it's time to be a pioneer for God. It's time to be like Peter, stepping out of the boat, walking in the midst of the storm, trusting God and watching Him do wonderful things through your faith and your obedience. Great faith. We're going to be talking about this hour, the extra hour, the U.S. Constitution, the humorous moments as we go through the 100 questions to be a citizen of the United States, the wisdom moment, and so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
In the extra hour. Here we are. We are moving in the extra hour. If you missed it, we're going to need to respond in a Christian way to what's taking place in America. There never is an okay time to set aside the ways and the paths of God to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, thinking that the means justify the ends, that it's for us, the end's already been had already. Jesus won it on the cross. So it's no such thing as anytime we set aside, say we justify the means to justify the end, in other words, doing whatever you got to do outside of what God says to be able to accomplish what you think is God, that's not God at all, because the end has already happened. It's called the cross. Jesus has said, cheer up, I've already overcome this life. So it's nothing about, it's for us, it's the means. How do we walk this life out? It's the journey. Did we love God? Did we obey God? Did we stay peaceful? Did we drink the cup that's put before us? Did we handle injustice with peace and trusting God who judges justly, or do we defend ourselves? You know, what do we do with this thing? This is a huge time. It's the journey for us. For the world, it's the world. You understand, they don't have any hope outside of Christ. So it is for them. It's just the means justifies the end. But for Christianity, the end's already had already. We already know the end. You can read about the end. But it's the means. We can blow our end personally if we change our means, if we step outside the grace of God and we begin to rebel against the ways of God and try to do it in our own strength and our own self, leaving God behind. Understand that our end has changed at that point when we start to do that. So God is big enough. God's not surprised. No matter what anybody tells you, the Word of God tells us in Ezekiel 33 and throughout the entire Word of God that storms can be fashioned by God. Hardships can be fashioned by God to be able to teach us and to train us and show us the right way to be able to go. I do want to say this morning and dedicate this moment to someone that's very, very special to me. And my spiritual father, Ken Summerall. He went to go be with the Lord Friday. And not only did he meet the Lord, but he also met his wife, Wanda, and his youngest son, Johnny. And it is a bittersweet in regards to, I know that he's in a better place. He's with the Lord, and we're going to meet him there. But I also want to say how grateful, I'm grateful for his life. I'm grateful for him, you know, speaking to them, into my life. Understand that there's spiritual fathers in the Lord that raise up spiritual sons and daughters, and they like Elijah and Elijah. And by letting them impart into you what God's imparted into them and staying in relationship with them, that's where you just get healthy and you get strong and you make less mistakes and these type of things. But also that in the context of that, God is a God of a double portion God. And right. that, and so there's so many single portion anointings because so many don't want to relate. But listen, God's about us all relating and getting along. And understanding that those that have gone before you, staying in relationship with maybe your spiritual father or spiritual mother, maybe God's calling you to relate, that it's important. And because of his life and because of his patience and you know, just tons of questions that we talk about and him telling his stories and all the things that have happened, understand that you can borrow experiences instead of having to buy them. Mm-hmm. And he just sowed and sowed and sowed wisdom into me and my brothers. And so many times, you know, quite often some people would say, you know, you've told that before. And it's like, listen, hush. I want to hear it because you hear it deeper. You hear it at a deeper level. And mm-hmm. now those stories just rest in our heart. And those stories are his, you know, his journey and when he overcame and when things had happened and how he dealt with turmoil and how he dealt with factions and how he dealt with these different things. And I mean, he was just tell it like it is type person. And it was just so, you know, Paul says, my spirit's with you. So when you get together and the situations happen in the church, go ahead and deal with it. Well, mm-hmm. I just always knew that his spirit was with me, which was the words he spoke. I'm not talking about familiar spirit, but the words he spoke over that situation just gives you that confidence to be able to deal with some things you got to deal with and to handle things you need to be able to handle. But on this last Friday, Brother Ken Summerall, my spiritual father, who I am eternally grateful for, and not only a spiritual father but friend, has gone to be with the Lord, and we want to remember him. For those that are in the Pensacola area, that we're going to honor him on Wednesday, which will be tomorrow, if you're listening to this live broadcast, at Liberty Church, a church that he founded. He founded Liberty Church. It used to be called, anyway, Liberty Church. And it's funerals at 9 o'clock, and the viewing's between 9 and 11. And if you need to, any address or anything like that, you can actually find it on, we'll post it on our Facebook so you can see that there. But understand this, that, you know, that we on earth have lost, you know, an awesome man of God.
Yeah.
And, but heaven has gained him. But you know what? We haven't lost his words and his wisdom because he's poured it into all of us. And I poured it into those who are related to me, and my brothers have done the same thing. And his legacy, his fruit, you know, not only lives on, but I think exponentially, you know, no telling, you know, he won't be able to get his reward for, because he gets your reward for your ministry, that type of thing that you lay down before Jesus's feet. But it will be probably until the Lord returns till all of his fruit has come in, because it's so large. Missionaries are just launched all around the world. You think about globe evangelism. He's that was in his heart to be able to go into all the world. Even up till his last few years, he was in the mission field going out there, and you know, people that didn't even speak our language, they called him Papa, you know, and because they knew that, for example, through one of my brother's ministry, that he was the one responsible for that lineage and that situation. It's just, you know, it's a bittersweet thing. And it's an unfolding loss that you kind of walk out, mm-hmm. Leaner, longwise, not a circular type thing. And, but I do know that, and I celebrate that his being with the Lord, and our hearts go out to his family, who his, daughters and his son, how they stood faithfully, you know, with him and made sure his needs were taken care of. And I think of Marlene, how she was just constantly there, and Beth, and then Stan, his son. Of course, Johnny's already gone to be with the Lord already, but our heart goes out, and we're looking forward to being with all my brothers to honor him tomorrow.
Wow, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you, vfnu.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion, and I read the Word of God, and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus. There's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you, you can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John in the Extra Hour right here. I want to be able to do the Constitution, U.S. citizenship test. And, you know, with that, of course, what we do is when we're doing the citizenship test, we have a little fun we like to play with it where, you know, that if you get the answer right, we're not going to ask five questions today. If you get the answer right, of course, you're going to hear a wonderful, wonderful sound, which sounds like all of our listeners, what? Bam. Oh, there you go. Exactly. Exactly. And of course, we're going to give you time to think. When you get a time to think, there's some familiar music you might hear that helps you kind of just think. You know, several times we had to restart that again and again and again, trying to figure out, like, that's a blank look at it. Of course, if, in John. Fact, you get the question not actually right, or better yet, well, if you miss the right answer, like Congress is saying.
Misspoke
the way Congress is saying. Or if you're wrong, this is what you get.
Well, in today's question is, John, talk a little bit about, you know, your experience so far, you know, all the things that you've learned as we were progressing. Because isn't this amazing? I mean, this is, it's like, oh my goodness, the things that we took for granted that you kind of knew inside, but it didn't realize not only was it important, it's the supreme way that we're designed. It's constitution where constitution means that's how we're made up. That's how we're made up. It's our makeup. Mm-hmm. When somebody tries to, you know, you're how you're connected, how things work. And when we talk about doing away with the Constitution, we're talking about doing away with the very thing of how we're formed and how we're made.
Right. Well, I mean, this has been a wonderful time to be going through this test, like you're just saying. I mean, think about it. So many people are wanting to come to this great nation of ours. They're wanting to come to a land of freedom. They're wanting to come and leave whatever was their home country to come to a land of great opportunity where they can establish, you know, a place where their family can grow and enjoy the freedoms that this country affords us because of the Constitution. But they have to take this test, and I'm amazed at the stuff that we knew and the stuff that we didn't know, me in particular. And I just learned so much, and I'm enjoying this. I'm glad that we have this on the torch, so you can feel free to always go back and refresh and learn yourself. You can catch the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the torch. But the test is wonderful. I know that I was challenged to find out some of these answers to some of these great questions. But, you know, we talked about how many senators are in a state, you know, how many people actually make up Congress, what are the three branches of our government. I mean, that's at such a foundation. When you talk, you have an executive branch, you have a judicial branch, and then you have Congress.
The House of Representatives.
House of Representatives who make the laws, and how important. Well, that was very good. You're listening.
But, I was paying attention.
You're paying attention. Very good. So it's been great. And to think that, my goodness, how can we have such high expectations for others that are coming into this country, if we as Americans, who just happen to be born in this country, we didn't do anything special for it, don't even know that the reason this country was formed, you know, how important the Declaration of Independence, you know, what are some of the rights that were spoken of in the Declaration of Independence, why that we have freedom of religion. And I just encourage you, continue to listen, continue to share with your friends. Because as we get ourselves educated, we're going to appreciate this precious document. I find that oftentimes things that are not appreciated, it's oftentimes because they've been overlooked. They don't understand the value. It's like, you know, you have a child who's holding one of their mother's figurines or a vase. Like, boy, put that down. You know how much that costs? He has no concept. Well, that's just a small little example. But if we don't know how precious our Constitution is, we won't. Stand for it, and we'll let it be taken away.
That's totally good. So here we go. We are about ready to start today's U.S. citizenship test. Boy, that USS ship thing always is coming out. Those are my Navy days, I guess. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome to the U.S. citizenship test. We're so welcome. Okay.
Calm down.
We are on question 51. We're only going to do 5 questions today. And of course, we want you guys to be as humiliated as possible so we can enjoy this lesson learning that we're having in civics, you know, in our nation and how things are done. So here's the question. I want you to listen to the question, and then I want you to take time to think about it. And when you're thinking about it, of course, you're going to be able to have the thinking music. And when you're ready to give your final answer, you let us know. And then the music will stop, and then we will listen to your final answer. If you get it right... If you get it wrong. So let's go. John, the very first question for today is, from the U.S. citizenship test, will you have to self-deport? What? Okay. What are... what? You're not Googling, are you, anything? You keep your hand... I want to see your hand. Put your hands on the steering wheel, sir. Put your hands on the wheel. There we go.
Put your hands on your
head. On the steering wheel, yeah. What are two rights of everyone living in the United States? What are two rights of everyone living in the United States. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Here we are. Of course, there's more than two, but all you do is just name two of them. What are two rights of everyone? Think about it. That's everyone. That's you. If you're listening right now, these are your rights. What are two rights of everyone living in the United States, John?
Liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh my goodness.
You have the rights of liberty? No. Can I try again?
Oh my goodness. I think you did, bro. What happened here?
Okay, freedom of speech.
Well, hold on a minute.
Okay.
Well, how many shots you get at?
Yeah, right. So, Pat, there's several rights that every citizen has.
Mm-hmm.
What are two of those rights? You get the right to steal.
Oh, steal.
Stealing, right?
That's not a right.
That's not a constitutional right?
I don't think that's
they can borrow. This is borrow. What are two of the rights? Two rights of the several rights that we have as every U.S. citizen has.
Okay. Well, we have the right to vote. I don't get an applause for that one. And
are you sure?
I'm positive.
Come on!
We have a right
what if
to vote.
But what if you're a felon?
Well...
Here's it. Okay.
Was there a clause in that question?
We're all learning. Okay, here it is. This is it. What are two rights of, there's several of them.
Yeah.
What are two rights? When you think about the amendments, that's where our rights, remember the Bill of Rights?
Mm-hmm.
So you can always find out what our rights are in the Bill of Rights.
Well, we have the right to bear arms.
Whoa.
Yes.
It's my turn. Okay. What are two rights?
I got some questions.
Everyone living in the United States. Here they are. This is it. The freedom of expression. Like you were free to be wrong with that answer. I'm just telling you. He almost spit his Gatorade all over me. He's like, wrong. You gotta play the Fonzie moment. And then that's one. Another one is the freedom of speech. The very fact that we can be on VFN TV and VFN radio and just saying what's we feel is right. There's a freedom of speech. So a freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly that we take it for granted, but that we can come together in a mall, or we can come together in a building somewhere and gather up with more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a right to do that. Nobody, we don't have to get a permit or anything like that to be able to come together, because every U.S. citizen has the right to assemble, which is important when you're talking about worship, and all that. Which is another one. Another right that we have is the right, is a freedom to worship. And another is a freedom to petition the government. That's huge, because it used to be where whatever the king said, that's how it went, right? Right now we have somebody trying to talk about taking away some of our rights, which is another right, is the right to bear arms, right? And so the Bill of Rights helps us on these things to remember what they are. But the right to bear arms, and so we have the right to petition the government and say to the government, because we have a right to express ourselves. We have a right to petition the government and say, you can't take away our Second Amendment rights. You have not violated anything. That's your right as American. As an American citizen, you can write your congressman, you can write your senator, you can write your president and say, listen, this is wrong. You can't do this. And I won't vote for you next time if that's what you do. So I just want to encourage you. That's two. We're asked two of them. It's all of them. We have the right to freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition the government, freedom of worship, as a church, so we can come together. That's actually written in the Constitution, that you have the right as American citizen to worship God freely without any laws being made towards. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're messing with that. And then finally, the right to bear arms. Okay, here we go. John, question number two.
Come on.
I love that. Chris is like, it's Pat. It's Pat. I'm waiting for the reaction. Waiting for the moment.
Tilt.
Pat.
Yes.
For your citizenship to still maintain it to be a Kentamite, what do you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What do we show loyalty to? What do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance? What do we show loyalty to? It's a loyalty. What do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance? Here we are. What do we show loyalty to? This is the U.S. citizenship test. This is what everybody who comes to our country, this is, I want to be a citizen of the United States of America. They have to pass this number 52 question on the citizenship test, which a lot of Americans have totally would fail this one, is what do we show loyalty to when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, when we say the Pledge of Allegiance?
One is the flag of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And to the Republic. That's it.
That's right. So we're actually, when we're saying when we hold our hand over our heart and say, I pledge allegiance, we're saying I pledge allegiance to the United States. Allegiance is saying, I'm with America. I stand under the Constitution. I'm with the other citizens. And that's why you see people saying, listen, we don't want to have the Pledge of Allegiance in the schools, because they're trying to break down the allegiance that we had and have as a citizen of the United States of America to the supreme law of the land, which gives us the right as Christians, listen, the right to worship freely. Why would we want to give that up? So many people are fighting for that, and we have it already. Now all we have to do is stand up for it. So when they actually say a pledge of allegiance to the flag, what you're saying is that you are for the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. That is so, so very, very important for us to go back and realize we're not just saying some little poem or something that just sounds good. We're really pledging allegiance, because when you become an American citizen, when you become the president, a congressman, a senator, a general, a military man, and a citizen, you have to swear an oath of allegiance to this country and say that you break all loyalties and allegiance to any other nation and any other government, prince, potentate, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's so many allegiances in America, but lately I haven't found any allegiance to the United States of America and to the flag in which it stands, to the republic, which we're a representative government. A lot of people say, I have an allegiance to their religion, you know, they have allegiance to their country they came out of, but they don't have an allegiance to the United States of America and the Constitution, and understanding that with that, that gives us as Christians the right to be able to worship God freely with a government making any laws concerning that, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Huge, the Bill of Rights. Okay, John, here it goes.
Wait a minute, I didn't get my applause.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
That's something. I didn't even realize that.
Wow.
They must not have known you got it right or not. I don't know what that is.
Just making sure everybody knew.
I wonder if you got it wrong. What do you say? Y'all forgot to boo me. Y'all forgot to boo me.
This is the first in the U.S. citizenship game. I think we have to note that. Wow.
I know it. But rest assured, I doubt very seriously you'll say you forgot to boo me.
That won't happen.
So if you would like to post your boos on our Facebook or send them in, be sure to do that. Of course, you can find it at vfntv.com. Okay, question number next, which is 53 on the citizenship test. John, here it is. What is one promise you make when you become a United States citizen? What is one promise you make when you become a United States citizen? Of course, there are several of them, but what is one? When you actually become a citizen of the United States. All right, here it is.
series. Of course, there are several of them. We want to know what is one promise you make when you become a United States citizen, John?
I'm going to say it is to defend, honor, live by the Constitution.
Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! That is very good. Very good. Okay. All right, but they didn't forget to applaud you at all, did they?
No, they did not.
You think about it, that's just one out of several of them. The thing is, the question was, what is one promise you make? They have to make a promise, several promises, when you become a citizen. And when we pledge allegiance to these promises. When a senator gets in office, they make a promise to these allegiance, and here they are. Of course, I gave it away. I was talking about it was the next question that came up. Is that we give up loyalties to other countries. I promise to give up loyalties. Even though I'm Mexican from Mexico, when I become an American citizen, I'm an American Mexican. I'm American first. And my loyalty is to the United States. Even though I am Iranian, for example, when I come to America and I take the citizenship test and I become an American citizen, I give up all my allegiance to Ahmadinejad and their government and anything over there, including that form of Islam that says that they actually believe that it should take over the Constitution. You got to say that doesn't work here because the Constitution is the supreme law. Religion is not the supreme law in America, but the Constitution is the supreme law in America. Mm-hmm. And so you have to renounce that and break those loyalties right there. And how many people do you see today that are not breaking their loyalties to anything? It's like, dude, don't you understand? You're violating the very, very Constitution, that the thing that we're made of. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. And the second one is defending the Constitution and laws of the United States of America. And that's what John was talking about, but just defending the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we have to know something before we can defend it. We have to know something. And so we need to defend it. To be able to we have to know it to be able to defend it. A third one is to obey the laws of the United States, because the laws of the land, first of all, the Constitution is the supreme law, but also the laws in your state, and all you're saying, listen, I will obey the laws in the United States. Next is to serve in the military if needed. So when you become a citizen, not the ones that are born in America, but the ones who come to America, and I think it should really be everybody, but right now, the way it's written in the Constitution is you have to agree to serve in the U.S. military if needed to. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the next one is to serve the nation if needed. Anything that they need, you got to agree. I will stand up and I'll serve the nation. Mm-hmm. And last is to be loyal to the United States. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
To be loyal to the United States. What a concept.
Wow.
That's what you say in your family. It's only going to work if people stick together in the context of family. So here's the next question. We're going to move along. The next question is, how old do citizens have to be to vote for the president of the United States? Here's a question then. How old, from the U.S. citizenship test, how old do people have to be able to vote for the president of the United States?
You have to be 18.
Or older.
At least 18.
Oh, we would be in trouble if it was only 18-year-olds voting, wouldn't we? A little stickler right there. Yeah, you can imagine. Only 18-year-olds can vote. It's over.
Oh,
it's over as we know it. Let's move right along. We're coming on the citizenship test here, right here. John Paul, here's the last question for the U.S. citizenship test to keep you from self-deporting. What are two ways that Americans can participate in democracy? What are two ways that Americans can participate, there's many, in democracy? Here's the question. The question is, from the U.S. citizenship test, What are two ways that Americans can participate, there's many, in their democracy?
I'm going to say vote.
Mm-hmm.
And join the military.
Well, it's kind of half. Got a half over there. Of course. Okay. Of course, you can vote. That's one. I'm list a couple off. You know, you can join a political party. You can help with a campaign. This is huge because you actually lose your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when a king, sometimes in America, you lose your head when you just, but you know, it's unconstitutional, by the way. You should be able to support anybody you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Join a civic group. Join a community group. Give an elected official your opinion on an issue. Call senators or representatives. Call them up and say, hey, you know, you're representing me. I was thinking about this. Publicly support or oppose an issue or a policy, or run for office. That's why you can participate. Or write to a newspaper.
Wow.
Well, this concludes the U.S. Citizenship Test for today. I believe you guys are like half deported and half Americans.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain
right.
this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends, they're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the Father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful time. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you are alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like 1 billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least at $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel. Preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can set 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We are going right into the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment for today. Today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10. This is so powerful. Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. Let me read that again. Proverbs 15:10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. And he who hates correction, resents, pushes away from, can't stand, correction will die. That's huge. First of all, we got to find out what is this path? I didn't know about no path. What path? I didn't know there was a path. There's a path? I didn't know there was a path. This is important because there's a path. Let me tell you what the path is. A path is for believers. You know, and God's word speaks so much about the path, yet much of today's believers, if you looked at their life, you would think, you know, they're nomads. They're wanderers. They just kind of wander around. They call it being spirit-led, rather than a people who are predictable because they all walk in the same path laid out by the Lord they profess. Because we're supposed to be pretty predictable. You know, it doesn't change. You know, hit one cheek, turn the other cheek. Mm-hmm. You know, those type of things. And so there's a path. You know, what is the path? Well, we first have to know what the path, where and what the path is before we can actually know if we're on it or off it or that type of thing or choose to leave it. And not to know if you are on the path does not give us a pass to plead ignorance before God on judgment day. Understand that we're called as believers. If we made Jesus the Lord of our life, we love him. Mm-hmm. We seek his ways. He tells us to make disciples, which is followers of Jesus. He says what he says in John 8, 31 through 32. Jesus said, he who follows my teachings, which is his path, his ways, he who follows his path, his teachings, are really my disciples, and they'll know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. See, what happens is it's the knowings, the directions, and this is how you live your life. It's a path. It's not something carved out in the dirt or something carved out in concrete. It's just something carved out in your heart. It's what you transformation that takes place in your life as you learn the ways of God. And he says, they even called Christianity, they called it the way. Mm-hmm. It was the way, meaning the path. When you think about this, he says, you know, he said, David, when he wrote in Psalms 119, 105, he says, your word or your path, your word is a light unto my feet. And it's a lamp unto my path. What does that mean? That the word of God lets us know, since it's a lamp unto our feet, it lets us know where we are. Where am I right now in my life? What's going on? What's happening around me? How do I relate to it? And then it also is a lamp unto our path, which means understanding that, it lets me know where to go. It literally will light up the way to go in your life. You cannot walk in darkness. Do not walk in the way of light and think that you're not going to stumble in many ways. These things are going to happen. Jesus tells us to go into all the world and tell everyone of his love for them, his desire to bring them into his family, to forgive their sins and to heal them, but to also make them disciples of his. Teach them the path of discipleship. Encourage them to walk in his ways, on his path. Proverbs 2:12 says, and through 15, wisdom will save you from the wicked man, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Listen, see, there's a righteous path. It's a righteous path that we're supposed to walk in. And we learn that, we get saved, we give our life to God, but it doesn't stop there. That's the beginning. That's like saying you're born as a natural baby and you just stay an infant. It's like, no, the next thing you need to do is become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Find out his path and follow it. And think about this. When we think about the Lord and wisdom, how wisdom leads us on the straight path, Proverbs 4, 10 through 12 talks about this path. He says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I give you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. See, when the Lord leads us, it's a straight path. It's not so crooked and confusing and all these different things saying it's complicated. No, rebellion's complicated, but walking with Jesus is not complicated. And he goes on and says, and when we walk your steps, when you walk in this way with wisdom, with God in his path, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. And that's so important because he tells us if we leave that, stern discipline is going to come our way for those that leave the path. So the path is, you'll find out that they say that America's church is an undiscipled church. What does that mean? They've left the path. What's about to happen to America? Stern discipline. How can we prevent it? Make Jesus the Lord of your life and become his disciple. Consider this. You know, Hebrews, we're talking about a stern path. Stern discipline awaits those who leave this path. When you think about it, in Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us, consider hardship as discipline, that God is treating you as a son. Let's go a little bit further than that. In verse 4, he says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Well, not in America. Ain't nobody going to hang on. And have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone that he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are an illegitimate son and not a true son. See, true sons of God, discipline, you find out if you're a true son of God or not, when discipline, when correction comes your way. He goes, this is moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to capital F, the father of our spirit, and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, he writes, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. So understand, stern discipline faces us when we wander off the ways of God. If we never knew God's path and his ways, we never read, if only 19% are reading about his path, reading the word of God, according to George Barna, you know, stern discipline is coming our way. Mm-hmm. And discipline, we have to understand the enemy's twisted that. Discipline is not abusing anybody. It's discipline. That's what we used to call education. When you go to school, the word was, you got a discipline. You're learning a discipline. Discipline is about correcting one's direction, one's behavior, not harming them just to harm them. If one thing has been twisted in this culture, it's definitely, I would say, discipline. But think about military boot camp. Military boot camp, when you go to the boot camp, it's a discipline. You're learning a discipline, how to function in the context of the military. And discipleship in the Lord It's considered a discipline. It's being a disciple of Jesus. We can learn his ways, his path, and walk in it, or we can learn his ways and not walk in it and suffer consequences for not walking, if we're leaving the path. Stern discipline awaits us when we leave the path. Mm-hmm. Or we can just choose not to know his ways and not walk in them and suffer the eternal consequences that come our way. And then think about this. Even Jesus himself learned obedience. Hebrews 5:8-10. Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience. Listen, if Jesus had to learn, we got to learn. He learned obedience from what he suffered. What's he talking about? In my discipline, in my correction. He never got corrected, but because he did what was right, but just the flesh suffering.
That's right.
Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. With loud cries and petitions, he called out to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Listen, we're told over and over again that we become a source for others to find God when we finally go through something. Jesus became a source for eternal life when he walked through the hardships of walking and obedient to the Father. When we do the same thing, we become a source for others. Once our obedience is made complete, I think about Paul writing to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10:6. He says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. What does that mean? Stay on the path.
Right.
Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Find out what the path is. Listen, if you are not a disciple, get discipled. Get discipled. Find somebody who's not teaching you the 4 points and a farewell, whatever. Find out how to follow Jesus and follow his ways. Listen, do you want a stern rebuke in your life? Do you want all these calamities in your life? Continue on the path that you're going, but get on the path of Jesus and be his disciple, and you'll find out your life will change. And then he says, he that hates correction will die. It makes me think about when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, when he talked about in verse 6, verse 1-3, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. What does that mean? No stern discipline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you may enjoy a long life on earth. What does that mean? It means death does not await you because you're mm-hmm. willing to be corrected. You're willing to go through the times of correction in your life, even the times of hardship, even when you have to cry out to God. And also when you think about in 1 Corinthians 11:27-32, he says, many people have died early or are sick in their body because they wrongly discern the body of Christ. Understanding that when God's speaking to you and he's correcting you, he's doing that quite often through another member of the body of Christ. And you can miss that. And by missing that, you can end up being sick in your body, or you could be, you can die early, have an early death in your mm-hmm. life. Not every early death and not every sickness is called that way, but he talks about that and how important it is. Listen, today's wisdom moments from Proverbs 15:10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path, and he who hates correction will die. Man, that's so important. That is just so important when you're thinking about it. Did you hear, I don't know if you heard this or not, but several police officers in New York were able to pick up a car off a taxi, had ran over a man in New York, and they circled around the car and they lifted the car up. As a matter of fact, we have a video of this available. You can see this on the VFN Torch, but we're just looking at it right here. They gathered around it, and the person was up under the carriage of the car,
mm-hmm.
and they picked it up and moved around. Is that not awesome? That is just totally awesome.
I heard about that, but I didn't know it was real.
yeah, it's totally real. And so we have that. It's pretty dramatic. Of course, obviously, they don't show the things that would cause you not to only really look at it, but it's just so cool to watch all those officers gather around the back of the car. You got to see this video. You can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. There's one thing I wanted to share with you today. It's really cool. I mean, these cellular digital data bills are huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are huge. Some of the money that people are paying out for cell phones, for their families and that type of thing. Well, a brand new company has just come out, and they are basing their product off of saving you money on your phone bill. Saving you money on your phone bill. Is that amazing? What a company, yeah, right?
That'd be nice.
They should do really, really good. You would think so, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think they would. And you can go to their website. What that is, you enter in your number, and whatever they do, you have to check out if you want to actually go buy it or not. And they will research for you what you're actually paying, what that company is offering, and find out if you're overpaying. Most people are overpaying in their bills.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Let's say, listen up.
My name is Todd Dunphy. I'm the co-founder and president of Validus.
My name is Tom Pepe. I am the co-founder and CEO of Validus.
Jeremy Groh, also known as Ram, and I'm the chief technology officer at
Validus. I'm Dave Chalmers, chief strategy officer.
My name is Kerry Schrapp-Loving,
VP of marketing.
My name is Dylan Breslin Barnhart,
vice president of communications.
My name is Joshua Barback, senior director of analytics.
I'm Scott Bradley, and I'm the VP of consumer technology.
Leif Jensen, and I'm the VP of experience design.
Validus is a movement. It's about open sharing of information.
It's really very simple. It's making sure you get what you paid for.
Validus helps clients understand their wireless bill.
How many people understand their mobile bill?
On your wireless bill, there's tons and tons and tons of data.
Validus takes all of that data.
We display that in a way that is easy for anyone to understand.
And our idea really simply at the core is to take that bill and run it back through a computer. Once you have all the information, it's easy to make a decision.
Where Validus comes in is they've developed technology that takes that data and turns it into knowledge. The next step is taking that knowledge and turning it into wisdom, where we can take wisdom and make decisions. Make decisions that improve people's lives, make decisions that improve companies' bottom lines.
The bigger vision here, there's a gap between customers and the carrier brand.
Tom and Todd, who founded the company, had worked in wireless for years. They identified a real problem.
The carriers are focused on making sure that mobility works, which is no easy task.
The wireless carriers were just not equipped to handle the demands of the capabilities that they were offering their clients.
They saw that they couldn't make their customers happy. They saw that they couldn't make the carrier happy, so they said,
wow, there has to be
a better way to do this.
There
has to be a better
way. Why don't we just go and do it?
The mobile wireless analytics world is absolutely chaos. There's just data coming in from everywhere.
How can you display all that data to a user so that they easily understand it?
We've built this wonderful tool, Vera.
Vera sits on top of the data. It's sort of our interface between our custom-built database and the user.
So Vera is the end product of the vision. She is about truth. She is about visibility. She's about transparency. She's kind of a unifying force in this industry that's really not unified.
It's
really
so totally amazing. You got to check this out. We're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. Think about it. Saving money, $50 billion, they say, is wasted. It's not used. It's paid for in cell phone usage. They said that could actually feed the hungry in the entire United World itself for an entire year. And what it is, you either do three things. One is the money they save you, you say, I'm going to give it. Or part of the money they're saving me, I'm going to give it to the need of feeding the hungry, or I'm not going to give it. So you got three choices you can do. You can get to it at savelovegive.com. That's SAVELOVEGIVE.com. And that's so cool because how many people, and I always thought, this is a whole, I'm going to give you a word of knowledge. You can go with this, you can run with it. There's so many things taking place right now that no one human being can focus on everything. So if you made your specialty like this particular company is doing just for mobile usage, but you say, you know what, I help people. I explore the local power company and what they charge and all the programs they have. And I keep my customers informed of how they can save 20% on their power bill, how they can get energy efficient things, how to save money with water company. And you're just looking at all these things that's going out of the house every... You can make a career out of that. You can make a career. They did it with mobile phone usage. I think it's so important. Check it out. Maybe it can save you time and money. I think $50 million, and possibly from what it appears to be, you can even feed the hungry with it. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.